If you're a believer here this morning, you have a treasure. And Paul says that we carry this treasure in clay pots or earthen vessels. Nothing special to look at, nothing special about the container, but what is inside the container is a treasure of infinite proportions. If you have your sins forgiven, you really have no other need. To have Jesus Christ bear your sins at the cross and make you right before your Creator. You have everything. Because that forgiveness of sins gives you not just a pass into heaven, an escape out of hell, but it gives you Jesus Christ Himself. It gives you God Himself. The great treasure that we have is access to our Creator in relationship through adoption by propitiation. That's the good news. That we are brought into God's family by the death of a substitute in our place. And we get to be His, and He is ours for all eternity. But we don't yet have this treasure in its fullness, obviously. That is yet to come. But God, in His wisdom and His design, has left treasure-carrying clay pots on this earth, in this life, to represent Him, to tell others, to bear witness to the treasure that is within. If you're a believer here this morning, the reason that you have not already been ushered into eternity, given a glorified body, and have your sin completely eradicated is because God, in His sovereign plan, still wants you here. And He wants you here to be an ambassador for the King, to be a bearer of good news. And what we're going to do this morning is something different, something a little bit unusual, something we're going to try to do several times a year, and that is to focus on our role as part of God's mission of the gospel. You and I are here this morning in part because the gospel went from Jerusalem. It went from Jerusalem into Judea, and from there into Samaria, and from there it has gone and is going to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you realize Chandler, Arizona is just about as far from Jerusalem as you can get? And yet the gospel is here. Do you understand that we are the fruit of missions? But this isn't the end. And what we want to do several times a year is just bring to all of us again, bring to our attention, our mind again, that gathering together on Sundays is not the end of all things. It is a part of a trajectory that God is on to bring His good news to every nation, every tongue, every tribe, and every people. We're a part of that. And we want to continue to put that in front of our hearts and our minds on a regular basis. And so several times a year, we want to have what we're calling for now a Missions Sunday. For lack of a better term, this is Missions Sunday, the first installment. I want to tell you what we're going to do over the several that we have throughout the year is highlight the things that we're trying to do to take the gospel beyond the walls of Grace Bible Church, other parts of the world, places that do not have the gospel, do not have the church, do not understand or appreciate the glory of God, places that need missionaries. Places that need Bible translation, places that need the church. We want to focus on those in our body who have gone out. We want to focus on those who are in our body who are being equipped to go. And we want to spur one another on to go wherever we are. That is the purpose of Mission Sunday. That's what we're going to be doing this morning. I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, and then we'll get to introduce some of those who have gone out, some of those who are going, and I think it'll be a fun Sunday. What I want to do just briefly to introduce all of this is to remind us what missions is about, specifically what we have decided at Grace Bible Church to latch onto as it relates to missions. And I would just remind you that on the website there is a series on missions that we did a while back that you can listen to and hear more of this in full. And I think I can sum this up for you in four words. What is missions all about at Grace Bible Church? Four words. Glory, gospel, church, world. Glory, gospel, church, and world. What do I mean by that? We think that missions can be summarized this way. We want to work tirelessly to see the glory of God, which is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, manifested in the church around the world. When we talk about glory, we're talking about God's glory. I want you to look at Romans 11 for me. The end of Romans 11. You know that the book of Romans is Paul's explanation of the gospel in sort of a full form. And he spends the first 11 chapters summarizing how it is that sinful human beings like you and I can ever have anything to do with a holy God. And it is only through the death of his Son. It is justification by faith. It is adoption by his grace. He explains the gospel in 11 chapters. And at the end of those 11 chapters, how can Paul conclude? What is his response to the gospel? It is an outburst of praise in song, a doxology. And he says in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who is first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever." Amen. And if it is true that from him and through him and to him are all things, and if it is true that missions is a thing, then missions must be from him, through him, and to him. In other words, what we do in missions must come under the rubric of God's glory. It must be driven by the glory of God. It must be fueled by the glory of God. It must aim at the glory of God. If we're doing missions somehow and it is not related to bringing glory to God, then we're not comfortable calling it missions, and it's not what we want to be about. Secondly, glory, gospel. Glory, gospel. Missions has to be about the glory of God, but it also has to be about the gospel. It has to be about the good news of Jesus Christ. Missions isn't missions if we are not letting people know how they can have forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ and enter into heaven. You see, no matter what we do for human beings on a horizontal level, if it is only temporal, it is deadly. If we only feed people or improve their temporal circumstances, we usher them to the great white throne judgment, to the place where unregenerate men will stand before God and face eternal hell. Missions without the glory of God isn't missions. Missions without the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't missions. What we do in missions must be about telling men how they can have their sins forgiven and how they can know God. Glory, gospel, church. And we believe that missions must be about the church. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Jesus set out to establish, to build, and to finish his organization, his body over which he is the head, and it is called the church. Jesus designed it. Jesus gave instructions about how it is to operate it. He equips it. And the church is what we ought to be about in missions. Sometimes, and for a long time in missions history, it has been thought that church is what you do here, missions is what you do over there. And we believe mission is what we ought to be doing here, and the church is what we ought to be seeing established and strengthened and built up over there. Missions and church ought to be synonyms. They ought to be the same thing. Glory, gospel, church, and world. We believe that missions must be bigger than Grace Bible Church. It must be bigger than what is enclosed by these walls. If you and I get into a stalemate where we feel like we've got what we like, we're comfortable with where we are, don't let any more in and don't let any of us out, we're missing the entire point of what the church is for. The church is to be Jesus' instrument of taking his message and himself to the ends of the earth. If you fast forward to the end of the story, Revelation chapter 5, we find surrounding the throne in concentric circles around Jesus Christ, people. People from every tongue and tribe and nation. Revelation 5:9 says this, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, because you are slain, and you purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." There are people from every tongue, tribe, people and nation that show up in heaven. How do they get there? Through the death of Jesus Christ. How do they appropriate the death of Jesus Christ? By hearing of it and believing in it. How do they hear of it and believe in it if people will tell them? How can people tell them, Paul asks in Romans 10. If they go, how do people go if we send them? You and I must be goers and senders of this great person and this great message. We can't be content with a cul-de-sac Christianity or a Dead Sea kind of Christian living where all the nutrients of the river flow in and just die there because they don't go out. We've been given equipment and gifting so that we go, so that we proclaim. Missions must be about the glory of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, and it must go to every tongue and tribe and nation and people. That is what we believe missions is about. I would encourage you to listen to the series on missions just to refresh your heart on those things. And what we're going to do for the rest of our time this morning is talk a little bit about what we're doing beyond the walls of Grace Bible Church, or what we're planning to do beyond the walls of Grace Bible Church. What I want to do first is introduce Michaela Bruce. She's going to come up in just a moment. And Michaela Bruce went out from us nearly 2 years ago to join Avant Ministries. Avant Ministries is a church planting ministry, and they work in Europe. They work in some other places as well. And she is in Spain with Avant Ministry, and their purpose, their plan is for the glory of God to spread the gospel by planting and establishing and strengthening local churches. And they're based in southern Spain. I'll let Michaela tell you a little bit about it. They have a two-pronged approach that they serve: gospel preaching, church planting, and church strengthening. And she'll tell you that there's not a lot of gospel in Spain. And she is being used by God there to take the gospel to people who haven't heard it, to strengthen the churches, to put tools in the hands of churches in Spain to take the gospel to the people that they are around. I'm going to stop talking now and invite Michaela to come up and tell us about her ministry.
Hi. Thank you, Smiley, because now I can just skip the intro. You did a great job for me. As Smed said, I have been there for 2 years, working in production, but mostly in Spanish production. And so I just want to tell you about some specifics of the project that we're working on now, what we want to do in the future, and just a little bit of what missions for me is looking like in Spain. So in the last 2 years, we began a program called Realidad, which is a word that means to see reality, that we kind of developed. And these are a series of videos aimed at 18 to 35-year-olds. The majority of these videos are testimonies of Spanish believers who share about their changed life in Christ. And then these videos are now available to young people too, people all over Spain. and then primarily what we want to do is we want to work with the national church in Spain. So we've been praying to form partnerships with different church leaders and pastors and ministries throughout the country so that, as Smed said, that these would be a direct resource in the hands of people who can reach their country the best, other Spaniards. So I've been very encouraged just to hear some feedback more recently that these videos are used in outreaches, they're used in church services, they're used from person to person as a form of a resource for evangelism. And it's just been really encouraging as we hear people come to us asking if they can use these videos, if we can go come to them and help them shoot something so that they might have more resources in the evangelism that they're doing. Just something encouraging. One of the last gospel videos that you're going to see actually was put out about 6 months ago or so. And within 2 days, it received 2,000 views. And so that was just encouragement to us that we know that that many people heard the gospel, but also that it was mostly Spanish people who were passing that around to their friends. And so Spanish believers recognize the tool that it is. So it was really encouraging to us to see that. I want to tell you about the next project that we're doing. We're going to take a break for just a second on doing testimonies, and we want to do a gospel series that could be like a Bible study at home for a church or a missions group to use. And it's going to be 4 short films that lead a non-believer or a group of non-believers through the gospel. And we're working directly with one of our contacts in Bilbao to do that. I'll tell you about the first one that we just finished shooting in May. And it was really neat because a large majority of the crew were not believers. And so we were able to share with them why we're doing it, what it's about, what the film is, you know, what we're going to do with it. It was just really neat to see how God used even the production of the film as a ministry. Specifically, the protagonist of that film, I think there's a picture that will come or maybe already came of my friend Bea. She was our main actress in the film. And I've known her for a year and been able to share with her and talk with her. And she was really interested in being a part of one of our films. And so the film discusses spiritual blindness. And she's playing the role of a person who was blind but then can see. And so it was just amazing to see how God opened doors to talk with her, to share with her, and to hear from her what the experience was. You know, how the Lord was even opening her eyes and softening her hearts. So I'd ask for continued prayers for Bea and for some of the others that worked with us on that project. We're hoping that that will be done, that project will be done the next year. Also, we've just heard, I don't know how, you know, how these videos got there, but we've heard back from Mexico, from Argentina, from Chile, that these videos are even serving in South America. So that's very encouraging to us, too. outside of the Media Center, but still yet within the Media Center, outside of my work at the Media Center, God has provided fellowship and ministry opportunities. At the Media Center, we're about 30 individuals plus families that live in this area and do this work together. By God's grace, those people have served to me as family and friends and just for fellowship. And so I'm just wanted to share that God has provided that through his grace. And then also another ministry that God has provided for me outside of the Media Center is where I live. Recently, five friends of mine and I think maybe, yeah, the picture already went by, said the bunker, or el bunker. my friends and I moved downtown to live together in intentional community, and that just began. But we're really excited to see not only how God will use us in the neighborhood, but how it is a ministry and a blessing to us there to have fellowship together. That's been a prayer request that maybe it's been shared before, but as a lot of missionaries know, it's hard on the field without the same kind of fellowship that I had here at Grace or that we've experienced before. So I just want to share with you that God has provided an amazing source of fellowship for me in body life right there with some friends. So please continue to pray for that. We just got going, but we really want to see God use us and just bring his glory into this barrio. I want to just tell you a little bit about maybe some of the, it already went by, yeah, the pictures of some of the friends I have in Malaga. They're going to talk about Papua New Guinea and how people are open there, but in Spain it's not the case. People are warm and friendly, but they don't really want to talk about spiritual matters, and they're hard-hearted in a lot of those ways to really let you in. So I want to say, again, praise the Lord, because in some of my relationships with Spaniards, they have let me in, and I have been able to share with people. So I just ask for continued prayers for boldness in those relationships and for a softening of hearts, because that can be a struggle, like I said. And then also, as I go into a third year, well, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for your consistent prayer over the last 2 years. It's become very obvious that it's only by prayer and by God's grace that anything has happened over there through a weak vessel like myself. So thank you for praying. I would really ask for prayers for next year for some of the things that I mentioned, but just primarily just for my time with the Lord each day and just that I would be receiving from him and just relying on his strength as I'm over there facing various trials of many kinds. Yes, and then also as you pray for the media center, for the individuals who are there, families from England who are all there to serve the Lord and to make the gospel available in Spanish, just pray for them, for strength and for God's glory to go out through them, and just for the individuals and resources that we need at the media center to function and to be able to do the best work we can. And so finally, just thank you so much for your prayers, your support, Skype chats, Christmas packages, and all kinds of things that you guys have done to send me, to stay in contact with me, and to encourage me while I'm there. It has made such a big difference, and I'm just very grateful. So thank you guys very much, and we're going to watch two of the films that we've done in Spanish ministries. The first one is a friend of mine, Lucia. She's an artist. We did a short series on artists in Spain. So far we've done three films, and it's just focusing in on a particular art so that we can reach that group of people just a little bit more specifically. So this first film you're going to see is just a friend of mine, and she's doing a painting, and her testimony she shares at the same time. And that film is on our website. It's on different social medias. And this summer is being used around Madrid, different cities in Madrid, as an outreach tool. So that's the first one we'll see. And then the second one is a gospel presentation from one of our ministry partners, ETL. That film is on the website and also on different places and has been used in various ways all over the country to share the gospel in Spain. But the idea is that when a person goes to the website, that they're able to see a video that really would speak to heart issues and would speak to, you know, faith and different things. Just trying to really call people's attention to what matters and to God and to Jesus. And then the gospel presentation is there so that they can continue and hear the gospel. So we're continuing to shoot more of those and videos like it so that hopefully when a person comes, they can fully understand what the gospel is. So those are the two videos that you're going to see.
You can see there some of Michaela's talents. And you can see why she is a vital part of the media center in all that she does. And let me tell you just a little bit about some of her needs. You can pray for Michaela on a regular basis. There is a missionary support team that tries to meet once a month to Skype with her and encourage her. You can be a part of that if you'd like to do that. There is information. Michaela will be at a table over there. You can see more of her videos. We've got some computers set up there. You can find out how to get to the website to see those. You can also find out information on how to pray for her and how to meet some of the needs that she has. And just to very briefly let you know, her current need is about $2,600 a month to stay there and do what she's doing. And right now she's taking in about $2,300 a month, which is about a $300 a month shortfall. And she says that God is great and is meeting every need that she has. But I believe there is a need there. And if you'd like to contribute to Michaela, you can find out how to do that at the information table there or by talking to any one of us here at the church. There is also, greater than just a monthly support need, there is a need for one-time needs. If you'd like to give one time to her, that will help bump up sort of the deposit that she has that lets her work on projects. And to go do shoots and things like that, to engage in language study. She has about half a year's worth of project money in her account, and so giving one-time needs toward that would be a great benefit to her. Again, she'll be at the information table after the service, and so go over there and pick up one of the little Michaela Bruce magnets and stick it on your refrigerator, and you can find out more information there. Thank you so much, Michaela.
We wish we could cover all of the different things that are going on missions-wise, but we only get to really isolate two this morning, as Smed said. So we're going to talk about a group and a broken mic. And but we're going to talk about a team now that's forming to, Lord willing, be able to go to Papua New Guinea. And hopefully at our next one in the fall, when we do one of these, we can talk about the other missions possibilities that are going on in this church as well. I want to give you a little bit of a history. Why PNG and Grace Bible Church? How did these two things even come together? It's actually Cassidy, her fault. In 2006, when she was Cassidy Thompson, she attended the Missions Perspectives course that they offer, and she was introduced to a video called ETAO. And that exposed her to tribal missions in Papua New Guinea. And so it piqued her interest, and so she talked to me about it. And it just so happened that close to that time, I had heard about a missionary couple from Bethany Community Church who were actually in Papua New Guinea doing that very kind of ministry. It's Joey and Brooke Tartaglia. And so I contacted Bethany Community and wondered if there was a way that we could talk. It just so happened that, Joey, you were back on a short trip back here. And so Cassidy and I and Joey, did your father-in-law join us that morning? I can't remember. Or that night? I think he did. And we began to talk. And that's what began the correspondence back in 2006. And not long after that, Joey and Brooke and the family came home, and a more formal investigation began to take place. Even some training took place. And Joey asked Cassidy, do you know anybody else who would be interested in this kind of thing? And she said, well, Matt and Cameron Dodd would maybe be interested in this. And so they began to meet. And God really, in a unique way, began to point their hearts to Papua New Guinea. And so the Dodds and Cass and now Zach and even Lauren Demarest have recently kind of been joining together, walking a path intentionally so, with the hopes that someday they'll all be prepared to actually hit the goal of Papua New Guinea, bringing the gospel there, much like Joey and Brooke did, to a different tribe. And just a reminder of this, in 2006, and I'll need Scott and or Sarah to help me with this, and I saw you, there you are. How old was Lauren in 2006? 13? 12 or 13. So she, at 12 or 13, didn't even know that this was going on, and now as a 19-year-old, or 18, 19, she is now part of that. So 12, 13-year-olds, you may have no idea what's going on in your life right now. Your parents don't have any idea what's going on in your life right now. But you might be preparing for the mission field in 6 years. You have no idea. And so the elders have been so encouraged by this relationship that has formed with the Tartaglias that the beginning of this year, 2012, we began to financially support the Tartaglias as a church. And today we get to hear from Joey. Brooke is not able to be here today. She's not feeling well, but Joey is here. And Joey is going to tell us about their ministry called Finister Vision. And it's an exciting ministry. It's a crucial ministry that really helps us to be able to even hit our gospel mission goal of getting to Papua New Guinea. Smed and I happen to be on the board of Finister Vision with Joey, and we're just trying to figure out a way forward to help this vision be all that God wants it to be and help our missions team get there. So, Joey, I want you to come on up and tell us about what you're doing, what you have done. And you'll need the mic. You got it. Okay.
Morning, everybody. I'd just like to tell you about what God did in Mibu, Papua New Guinea. About 10 years ago, my family and two other families went to Papua New Guinea and moved into this village called Mibu. Mibu has about 200 people in it. The purpose we went to Mibu for was really just to plant a church. We went not to do anything else other than that, just to plant a church. Just to plant a church, yeah, right. People, when they listen to our story about what God did and how things progressed through the years, they're often very surprised to hear that we didn't start out preaching the gospel when we first got there into Mibu. You think, okay, yeah, we went to plant a church. How do you plant a church without the gospel? Well, of course, you can't plant a church without the gospel, but there was something else that had to come before we could preach the gospel. And the answer to that is this. Ambelak anjonge. Nara bami vanganda wamen danyo khut kangbe jinbe apchapap anari narapnyong ambe mai jinbe lak english wam gan yangawang tangawa nara mibu wam gan danyo khut kangbe jinbe apchap anarapnyong english wam danyo khut kangbe lak apcha. Do you get it? Without a clear presentation of the gospel message in the Mibu language, there's no way the Mibu people were going to get it, right? So we had to spend a couple years learning their language first. No matter how clearly we could communicate the gospel in English, they wouldn't get it. So we had to communicate it in their language. And so in order to do that, we spent about 2 years learning their language so we could communicate that gospel message very clearly. Once we knew the gospel, we knew the gospel before we went. Once we knew their language, where do you start in communicating the gospel to a people that have been so gospel destitute that they don't even know that they live on a planet called Earth? They're so far remote that they don't even know that the planet is round. Where do you start with people like that? can you start in like John 3:16? No, we had to start way back in the beginning in Genesis 1:1. Now, when we started preaching from Genesis 1:1, I want you to understand the bigness, the hugeness of this time. This was in October of 2005. No one had ever stood in Mibu. It had been 4,500 years since any Mibu person, man, woman, or child, had ever had any revelation from God. The last time prior to us standing up there and say, hear the word of the Lord, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, the last time that any Mibu person had ever heard anything like that would have been back 4,500 years ago at the Tower of Babel. So this was a huge historical moment in Mibu about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, however long it was. I don't know. This was huge. From the Mibu perspective, hearing the word of God was a time of reprogramming for them, because for them, they thought the world was like 500 years old. They thought that the first people on planet Earth came from snakes. They thought that sin is only sin if we get caught doing it. So all of these worldview things were so anti what the Bible teaches that it was really just a total reprogramming for them. And so what we did was we spent months, 6 months, working through the Old Testament so that when it came time to present the gospel, we wanted them to be able to make a decision either to reject what we were presenting as God's truth or to totally depend on God's word as reliable for salvation. And so we just told Old Testament story after Old Testament story, and the Mibu people just continued to identify themselves with the sinners of the story. Like we told the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Mibu people, they didn't identify themselves with Lot, who escaped the judgment. They were like, oh my goodness, the actions that the Sodomites and the people of Gomorrah, the things that they do, that's just like what we do. Is God going to send fire raining down from heaven on us too? The Mibu people were so prepared for the gospel message when they finally heard it. They just kept identifying with their sin and with a need for a savior. I'll never forget my friend Joy now. He said these words just as we were getting ready to present the gospel. He said, oh, nambe amin kwagani yuak, nambe kwak na kengat. Karak na pasi, kepiya pasi, tepandak na pasi sinya. Amen. Garak garak amen. Dupan garang amia kambe. Nambe lakun kama kengat. He said, oh, I'm like a drowning man. I've been flailing around in the ocean. My arms, they're tired now. My legs, they're tired. I have no strength left. If it weren't for somebody to reach in and save me from this, I'm a dead man. And that was his response to his sin and his need for a savior. And that was before we even got into the New Testament. When we finally got to present the gospel in Mibu, it was like the Lord just flipped on the switches in the minds of the people, because almost every single man and woman in Mibu believed the gospel. Shortly after they believed the gospel, we began discipling them. Like immediately after they believed the gospel, we started discipling them. And as we discipled the church in the coming months and years, one of the things that we helped them with was, how do you teach the gospel to your unsaved relatives? And so the gospel went out from Mibu, went to a village of Tariknan, and then we came into the problem of, okay, there's no other villages in this country that speak this language. And so we had to jump and go to another language group called Mana. And so the gospel, literally, we took the gospel, we translated the Bible from Mibu, and we translated our Bible lessons into this Mana language and brought the gospel. And so today, there are 6 churches that span across 2 language groups to the praise and glory of God. What does this story have to do with Grace Bible Church? You might be wondering. What does this story have to do with Grace Bible Church? What does this story have to do with Zach and Cassidy, Matt Cameron, with Lauren? Why did we send Lauren way up there so that she could get trained linguistically? Mibu is but one small tribe in a mountain range in Papua New Guinea called the Finisterre Mountains. The Finisterre Mountains has 100 tribal groups. So our vision as Grace Bible Church, our vision as Finisterre Vision, is to strategically place 15 teams in the Finisterre Mountains of Papua New Guinea in the hopes that the gospel will take root in these 15 strategic spots and then spread, just like it did from Mibu, to the rest of the tribal groups in Papua New Guinea, in the Finisterre Mountains in Papua New Guinea. So how big is this area that we're talking about? The geographical size of the Finisterre Mountains is quite small. We're talking about from east to west, we're looking at about 140 miles. From north to south, we're looking at about 30 miles. In perspective, that's like driving down the freeway and every exit, or maybe every two exits, we come to an exit, and the people of that exit speak another language, for way of perspective. 100 tribal groups inside of this area that's 140 miles by about 30 miles. The reason for so many languages inside of this small area is that the terrain there is incredibly rugged. You've seen the pictures. There's pictures over there. The mountains are just up and down, up and down. For us to get from the coast to Mibu, which is about 13 miles inland, you think, 13 miles, we could probably walk that in like 4 or 5 hours. It actually took us 2 full days of hiking to get in there because of the terrain being so rugged. And because the terrain is so rugged, that means the people groups of this valley have very little contact with the people on the other side of the mountain. And so the languages just got further and further distant from each other. And so now we have this huge mountain range that has 100 different languages in it. As we think about the gospel and why the gospel in 2,000 years since Jesus Christ told us this message is going to go to the ends of the earth, why hasn't it gone everywhere yet? Why are there places like Mibu left that haven't heard the gospel? Really, there's two reasons why that is the case today, and they both start with the letter R. One is because places in the world are resistant. They don't want Christians. They don't want Christ. Maybe they don't want Americans. They're resistant to something. The other reason is that some places in the world may not be resistant, but they're very remote. Let me read to you a letter that was written to us by a tribal group called the Dough People. You'd think they make like bread dough or something, but that's their name, the Dough People. And they came about a day hike from their place, and they came and they presented to us this letter. And here's what it says. Very simply, I'm happy to come talk to you guys. We talked about sending a missionary to come to us, but you have not done it. And so, we are still waiting. So the issue for us as a team, as a church, as a ministry is not that we're going into a place that's resistant to having missionaries come. No, they're asking. They're sending letters. And this is one of like a dozen letters that we've gotten from different tribal groups asking for missionaries. The issue for us to overcome is not resistance, but the issue for us to overcome as a team is the remoteness of the location that we're heading to.
The Finisterre Vision is just a group. It's a unique, it's not a missions agency. What Joey is trying to do is get this to be at a place where it can truly come alongside the church in such a way so that we get to do all of the things that we want to do most and can do best with our people, like prepare them and equip them and to move them towards, by God's grace, elder qualification for the men and things like that. And so we train our people theologically and biblically. And then Finisterre Vision does for us what we can't do. We don't know all of that stuff, but Joey does. And so Joey sits with our team and he trains. And there is this team that has kind of come together by God's grace. And so I want you to hear from them this morning. We're going to have Zach and Cassidy come on up first, and they're going to share what you guys have been doing. And then we'll have Matt and Cameron come up as well.
As a team, we thought it would be helpful to kind of go over what a team would do in Papua New Guinea from day one until the last day, just what a timeline would look like there. So we're just going to kind of step through. You can put up the next slide. Step through basically from day one till the end. First, the team would arrive in PNG and learn the trade language, which is Pidgin. So in kind of a main city, they would live for about 6 months, 4 to 6 months, learning the language of Pidgin so that when they get into the tribe, they know a common language before they learn the tribal language. Also in that time, they're going to research different tribes to find out which one might be the next strategic tribe to move to of the 15 that eventually the Finisterre want to plant teams in. Second, they would start doing aerial surveys of the potential tribes that they want to maybe move to. When they go to those tribes, they would meet the leadership of the tribe, explain the vision of what that they as a team would want to do. They want to learn their specific tribal language, teach the Bible to them in their language, teach God's word, and translate the Bible into their language. And then they also want to ask for an invite. Does this tribe actually want them to come? So they will do that for a couple months at the end of their time in Madang, or the main city, Madang. And then once they receive an invitation, then they would move there. And that would start the next first part of being in the tribe, which would be building houses. They would live in the tribe for about 4 months, hopefully not more than that, building houses for themselves and starting to establish relationships with the people of the tribe. As soon as they, the whole time that they're there, from day one until the church is established, they're going to be pointing toward the original goal of teaching God's word. They're going to keep telling them the things that they originally said. We want to come. We want to learn your language. We want to teach the Bible. We want to translate it. And so even as they're building houses and learning names and establishing relationships, they're going to always be pointing forward to that. And then fourth, once their houses are built, they're going to start what Joey kind of talked about, 2 years of learning the language and the culture. As they progressively get deeper and deeper in relationship with the people, they'll progressively get deeper and deeper in the language and deeper into understanding the culture and the worldview so that they might effectively be able to present the gospel to them.
And then the preparation for the gospel starts with pre-teaching prep, where this essentially comes in three stages. You have starting a literacy program. Most likely the tribe doesn't know how to read, certainly doesn't know how to read their own language. They don't actually have an alphabet written down. So you need to develop an alphabet, teach it to them, and teach them how to read their own language. And the ultimate goal is so that they can ultimately read the Bible, the Word of God, in their own language. This is where translation work would also begin, starting to translate the Bible with the help of language helpers. Preparing lessons, those lessons that Joey talked about from Genesis 1:1 all the way through to the cross, would start preparing those lessons as well. And thirdly, encouraging the tribe to just spark their interest and their desire for the message. You're building relationship and you're constantly telling them, we are here to give you a message from God, and it's God's message, it's not ours, and we want to foster excitement for that. Finally comes the sixth step, which is teaching through the Bible, and you see all the times up there. This one says 6 months. If you've been adding all those up, you'll realize it's been about 4 years by the time you get to this point. That's what Joey was talking about in regards to, it takes a long time before you actually get to the gospel presentation. But the time that it's taken has not been in vain. The team will now know not only the gospel, but they'll know the language and the culture of the people. And they will be prepared to bring the Word of God in a way that knowledgeably combats their flawed thinking and feeling about the world and about their need for a Savior. It'll take about 6 months to teach through the Bible, and you really want to reveal to them, this is not our message, this is the God of the Word, and He is both Creator, He is Judge, but best of all, He is a Redeemer. And the people need to see their need for a Savior. And I would just ask that you'd be praying even now that the Lord would, whenever a team goes, whenever they get there, whenever they get to this stage, that eyes would be opened, that passions would be awakened for Jesus Christ as the one who is able to forgive sin, to remove wrath, and to provide righteousness. Lord willing, step 7, establishing a church. This is something that God does, awakens these hearts and minds. But once you have believers, the team will need to teach them, train them, keep translating the New Testament, teaching them through it, encouraging them in how to live, and grounding them in good doctrine, in loving God and His Word and wanting to study it. This is also where you look for men in the church, believers in the tribe, who would be qualified to lead the church when the team leaves, to be elders and leaders in the church as the team phases out, which is the last phase, which pretty much speaks for itself. You just leave. Once the church is established and not only desiring to grow internally, but desiring to do what we're doing here today, which is to send people out to the tribes that are surrounding them. And in all of these, our heart, I was talking with Matt this morning about this, our heart is that in all these steps, God would just do as He pleases. Methods, strategies have never saved a single soul. God does that. And so we are just praying. We want to be strategic. We want to be faithful. We want to be hard workers. I love what George Mueller famously said, work with all your might, but don't trust the least in your works. Trust God. And so that's what a team would do. But how does a team actually train? How does a team get there? That's kind of the next step.
Thank you, guys. We'll just take a few more minutes with Matt and Cameron. But I want to say something about Matt and Cameron before they come on up. They're going to talk about the things that we need to complete yet before we can go. And one of those things that's specific to them is Matt's qualification as an elder. It is the desire of this church at the elder board that team leaders for our missions groups be elder qualified. And Lord willing, the other men that are part of the team would be elder qualified. We're aiming Zach at elder qualification as much as we are Matt. It's just that Matt has been on this qualification preparation track the longest. And we want you to be praying for him and praying for the elders as we continue to make more progress with this. Why is it important for a team leader to be an elder qualified man? For two primary reasons, and there's probably many more, but the team is going to face significant challenges as they move from here to the mission site where they will be, and the team is going to be adapting to new everything. And so what they need is they need a shepherd who's going to oversee their care for one another as they just transfer to a new place. And so we want someone who is elder qualified to be able to oversee the team. Secondly, if the ultimate goal is for the indigenous men of the tribe to be elder qualified in their own church, it's going to take an elder qualified man to shepherd them and, Lord willing, by God's grace, lead them to such a place. So it's very important for us, and that's the track that we have Matt Dodd on and have had him on. So I want you to pray for him and for the elders as we just continue to walk that path together. Matt is a skilled shepherd in his small group. He is an effective teacher of God's Word. I think you see that every time he is up and leads in communion. But Matt is also a godly man, and he is an effective leader in his marriage. He is an effective manager over his household. And Lord willing, we'll have more to communicate to you soon about Matt's progress toward an elder internship. But in the meantime, let's hear from you guys about what you guys need to still work on. So come on up.
So you heard Cass and Zach talk about what we're going to do when we get there. And basically, the goal is to bring the gospel to Papua New Guinea, plant a church, all for the glory of God. And in order to get there, the training and the preparation that we need to do basically falls in three categories. First, qualification to go. Second, church planning, training specific to Papua New Guinea. And third, linguistic/translation training. So first, qualification. As Scott said, it's the desire of the elders and as well as our own to be elder qualified before we go. And ultimately, it's God's grace that would make any man elder qualified, but there's definitely things that we can do to hurt that process or help that process. And things that we've done specific in a Grace Bible Church to help that is taking Build and H3 and hermeneutics with Smedley. And we have a quote. Is the quote up there? Yeah. So to help us become elder qualified, we are taking a class called Living Life. Yeah. Which happens 24 hours a day, and the primary textbook for this class is the Word of God. And it's true, right? Because as every day we're training, as we shepherd our heart to love God through His Word, to know God more, to remember the gospel, to preach the gospel. And so this is basically the first thing that we need to do is become qualified men. And Cameron's going to tell you about the other two.
So then the next thing that we have been doing is cross-cultural church planning, training specifically for Papua New Guinea. When Joey was back here and his family a few years ago, we were able to meet with them about once a week for a year, learning specifically about how to plant a church in Papua New Guinea, specifically in the Finisterre Mountains of Papua New Guinea. We learned so much about what Zach and Cass shared and a lot more just very specific to that region about what those people struggle with and what church planting would look like over there. Cass actually went out to Papua New Guinea for a few weeks to train out there, and Zach also went out for a few weeks. So they've actually been there, as part of that training. So that is the cross-cultural church planting training that we've been doing, and we continue to take classes with Joey even right now. And then the next thing that we've been doing is language and translation training. Because of the nature of what we want to do, because it's a language that isn't even written down yet, that we would need to first learn and then create an alphabet for, and then we would need to translate the Bible into that language and teach people literacy. Because of that, there's such good training offer here that we have been able to take. So we've taken two summers of the summer at the Summer Institute of Linguistics, and that's where Lauren Demarest is right now in North Dakota, doing the exact same thing for the same reason. So basically, SIL, the Summer Institute of Linguistics, taught us how to learn an unwritten language and how to write it down, sounds that you've never heard before, and how to write those down, and just to speed that process along once we get there, Lord willing. And another thing that we've been doing for the translation part of it is that it's our heart that, Lord willing, when we get to that place where we can translate, that we can do that from the original languages of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek primarily. So we've taken a semester of Hebrew, and we've taken three semesters of Greek, the last one being with Smedley and Josh Kelso. So those have just been really helpful for us in terms of language and translation training.
And finally, looking, we're committed to going as a overseas with a church-based team, even if that means not going to Papua New Guinea. And as you hear all this, in light of all the work that you have to do, learning a language, translating the Bible, teaching people how to read and write their own language, and then teaching the Bible, the whole thing is hard for one couple. So we're looking specifically for two or three other couples or single people like Cass and Zach and Lauren to go alongside with us. And along with that, the members of our team would need similar training. And right now, we're all working together towards Papua New Guinea, as that's, you know, with Joey, as that looks like the best place to go. And
so why don't you take that with you? This is a team that is not everything is knowable yet. There are some key pieces that are missing that have to come together before they can leave here and get on a plane and go there and be there for as long as God has them there. But what's interesting to watch with this team is that they want to just, in the meantime, when you don't know what you think you need to know to be able to go do what you want to do, they just want to be faithful. And they just want to prepare. And there's plenty of things to do right now to prepare. Because when a team goes, we don't want them to fizzle out in a year or two. they need to be able to be there for the long haul. They need to be the best men and women of God that they can be. And so they are just walking by faith, trusting God along the way. I want to tell you about one of the unknowables that needs to be known before they go. This is a team right here that will be in the mountains, Lord willing, working with the tribal people. But we need what is called a logistics coordinator. And that's going to be in one of the port towns, probably Madang, in Papua New Guinea. That's a different role entirely, but that's a crucial role because it's a person or a couple who helps coordinate needs and supplies and other government types of documents and things that they need to work on repeatedly so that the tribe, the team in the mountains doesn't have to leave the mountain to go to the port town and come back. It's just so much and it's costly to do that. So we need somebody who's going to do that. And so we're laying this out here before you as if you would even prayerfully consider yourself, if you would want to be a part of this team in that sense, live there for a few years of your life and help this team to get established. We have a handout over at Joey's table that talks about the logistics coordinator. If you want to see what it takes to be that, you can certainly go see that as well. So how could you respond to this? Obviously, pray for this team. Have this team come into your small groups and share what they're doing. They can go into more specifics about this. If this is interesting to you and this idea of being on a team like this is interesting to you with this team specifically, come talk to me, talk to any of the couples involved, talk to the elders. We would love to be praying with you for that. But also be prayerfully considering even now, we're going to need to put together a team that's going to support this team. A Grace Bible Church team that's going to help this team go. We need to have financial support for that in the future to come. So we just want to lay this out in front of you now to be praying so that when it comes time to go, not only are they well prepared, are they well equipped, but we are also prepared financially to even say it's time to go. So we want to be thoughtful and prayerful in that sense. So thank you for letting us take a little bit more of our time beyond 11:30. I'm going to just pray and close out our service. We'll pray for this team. We'll pray for Michaela. And please take the time to go over and meet them and talk with them. Get your root beer float. Come back in and enjoy the time that you can with them at the table. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Michaela. Thank you for the way that you have sustained her for 2 years in Spain. And Lord, we look forward to... I know that she feels like things are just really getting started. And Lord, it is our desire as a church that we would support her well, that she would feel undergirded well spiritually by us. So God, help us to be more aware of her, more thoughtful about her, more to contribute even more than we are, Lord, to meet her needs financially. We pray, Lord, that you will... give her the rest of the time that she has back in the States that would be profitable, that would be helpful. We pray for her family, that you would just be able to give her good ministry with her family, that she could care for them well while she's home. And Lord, we pray for Team PNG. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the unknowables, that you would make them known one by one in your perfect timing. And in the meantime, Lord, would you just grant them continued endurance to prepare well so that they are ready to go when it is time to go, Lord. How exciting, Lord, to think of being a part of extending the gospel this way together. I pray, Lord, also for the others in this church body who are preparing and whose hearts are being tugged in the same kind of direction into different parts of the world, to different people groups. We pray, Lord, that you would raise them up as well as we labor here to bring the gospel to each other on a daily basis and then even beyond this church family so that all in this valley would have a chance to hear it, repent, believe, trust in Jesus and become a part of the body of Christ. All until you come back and reign as King on this earth, Lord. We need you and we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.